my mind, I'm gone to Carolina. Can't you see the sunshine? Can't you just feel the moonshine? Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from behind? Yes, I'm gone to Carolina in my mind.
The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Ed Tremblay from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the Tar Heel Junior Historian Magazine, North Carolina History for Students. And today we'll be reading from the Fall 2022 issue, History Rocks, Music in North Carolina, Volume 62, Number 1, produced by the North Carolina Museum of History. The first article today will be Mi Sueño, Charlotte's Latinx Musicians Write Their Own History, by Samuel K. Byrd, who is Director of College Transition and Alternative Credit Programs in the Division of Continuing Education and Workforce Development, and an Adjunct Assistant Professor in the Business Department at Hostos Community College, City University of New York. His book, The Sounds of Latinidad, Immigrants Making Music and Creating Culture in a Southern City, was published by New York University Press in 2015. He received his Ph.D. in anthropology from the City University of New York Graduate Center. A hot, muggy day. The smell of seared meat and warm tortillas, fried dough and roasted corn. Southern accents with Spanish words sprinkled in. Banners announcing local musicians and world-famous artists. Dancers twirling and moving to tropical rhythms. And music. Loud, percussive, shouted at the audience, who shouts back. Joyful. Moving. These are the scenes at the Festival Latino Americano, Latin American Festival in Charlotte. I had arrived in Charlotte a year earlier to learn about the history of Latinx immigration and Latin music in the South. Now I was beginning to understand that Charlotte's Latin music could teach us not just about immigration from Latin America, but also bring full circle the multicultural history of Southern popular music. As a graduate student on trips home to Georgia, I noticed grocery store signs in Spanish and Mexican restaurants opening in old diners. Looking at the U.S. Census, I noticed a dramatic increase in Latinx residents in North Carolina, and Charlotte in particular, from the 1980s on. Being interested in music, I decided to study how Latinx musicians experienced life in the Carolinas. What I stumbled across was a vibrant music scene with musicians from all across Latin America, playing genres as diverse as salsa, merengue, reggaeton, regional Mexicano, bossa nova, heavy metal, funk, rock, and more. The musicians I interviewed not only bring their music with them from Latin America, they are also making music that reflects what they see and experience in the South. This means grappling with the region's history of racism and current debates about police brutality, immigration, voting rights, and economic opportunity. Members of the Charlotte band Ultima Nota deal with such issues on their recent album Soñando, Dreaming, through songs such as Mi Sueño, My Dream, which tells the stories of four immigrants struggling to achieve the American dream, and Esperanza, Hope, which deals and details the aspirations of a young Afro-Latina woman who fights for justice and acceptance in American society. The music of Latinx artists in Charlotte reflects how they feel as both Latinx and Southern artists. Some of the first immigrants from Latin America to Charlotte arrived in the 1970s and 1980s. To foster community, they formed groups like the Latin American Women's Association, the Puerto Rican Cultural Society, and the Latin American Coalition, and started putting on festivals to celebrate their music, food, and culture. The booming banking industry drew many Latinx immigrants, both working-class men and women who built skyscrapers and cleaned houses, and professionals who worked in finance. By the 1990s and 2000s, Charlotte's Latinx population grew exponentially, and Latinx-owned businesses flourished. Radio stations, newspapers, restaurants, music reviews, law firms, and so on. Latinx musicians who had once struggled to find fellow musicians who could play their music now had growing audiences of fans and places to perform. By the 2010s, Latinx musicians were a vital part of the city's music scene. Though some musicians still pushed to be included not just during music venues' Latin night, but every night of the week. The journey of Charlotte's Latinx musicians continues a cycle of mixing cultures and rhythms that dates back to the colonial period in the South. First, there was the fusion of American, European, and American Indian influences on the region's music. By the late 1800s and early 1900s, records and popular dance fads introduced Hawaiian guitar and Cuban rhythms to the South, influencing the development of jazz and blues music. This Latin tinge in popular music continued through the 1940s and 50s. It's ironic, then, that so many of the Latinx musicians I met were influenced by American rock, blues, and jazz. Their music helps bridge the cultural and geographic distance between the United States and Latin America. Here are the captions for the photographs that accompany this article. Musicians dancing on stage at the Fanta Festival in Charlotte. The cover of Ultima Nota's new album, Soñando, which means dreaming. A map of the many countries in Latin America, which all contribute to the variety of Latin music. And Los Amigos Invisibles perform at Charlotte's Latin American Festival. Next, a closer look. Blind Boy Fuller, born 1907, died 1941 in Richmond County. Guitarist and singer Blind Boy Fuller, born Fulton Allen, is considered to be one of the greatest Piedmont blues musicians. Born in Wadesboro, Fuller and his family moved to Rockingham when he was a child. It was there he developed his playing style and began performing on street corners and at parties. In the 1920s and 1930s, Fuller played for the workers at the tobacco warehouses in Durham and Winston-Salem. During that time, he recorded more than 100 songs and performed with other blues musicians. In 2021, the city of Durham honored him with a commemorative plaque. Nenna Freeland, born 1954, from Durham County. Jazz singer Nenna Freeland worked in the field of health services in Durham before beginning her singing career. Her repertoire consists of jazz standards and her own compositions. She has recorded and performed with Ellis Marsalis, Ray Charles, and many other notable musicians, and has earned 5 Grammy nominations. She sometimes performs with her son Pierce Freeland, a Grammy-nominated hip-hop and family music artist, educator, author, and politician. In 2010, Nenna worked with Pierce and his hip-hop quartet The Beast on the album Freedom Suite. In 2022, Nenna and Pierce became the first mother and son nominated individually at the same Grammys category. Lulu Bell and Scotty, a group formed in the 1930s, they were from Watauga and Mitchell counties. Myrtle Cooper Wiseman, born 1913, died 1999, was born in Boone. Her husband, Scott Wiseman, born 1909, died 1981, was from Spruce Pine. Together, they performed as Lulu Bell and Scotty, the sweethearts of country music, and were one of the most popular country music acts of the 1930s and 1940s. As a performer on the National Barn Dance, Myrtle was voted favorite female radio star by the readers of Radio Guide magazine in 1938. In 1958, the couple retired from show business and returned to their home state, North Carolina. In the 1970s, Myrtle Wiseman served 2 terms in the General Assembly, the first woman and Democrat to represent Avery, Burke, and Mitchell counties. Thelonious Monk, born 1917, died 1982, from Nash County. Composer and pianist Thelonious Monk, born in Rocky Mount, helped usher in the bebop era of jazz. In the 1940s, Monk played in clubs throughout New York City, including famed jazz club Milton's Playhouse in Harlem, where he worked as the house piano player for a time. In the 1950s, his albums Brilliant Corners and Thelonious Monk with John Coltrane cemented his reputation as an innovative musician who helped push the boundaries of improvisation and jazz. The Smithsonian Institution has preserved his music in an extensive archive, and the Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz was created in his honor. Next, I'm going to read the Tar Heel Junior Historian Magazine article contest winner at the secondary division. Here's the prompt from the contest. Pick one instrument and share why it best represents North Carolina. Maybe it's a mandolin, drums, a piano. Is it an essential part of North Carolina's music traditions? Research the history of the instrument. Where did it come from? Who brought it to North Carolina? Use your article to tell us why you think this instrument is important. And the winning article is Notes of Home, the Banjo in North Carolina by Matthew Peluso, a member of Peluso Junior Historians, Peluso Christian Academy, New Bern, Don Peluso Advisor. He was the winner of the 2022 Tar Heel Junior Historian Magazine Article Contest, Secondary Division. When I think about music in North Carolina, one of the first instruments I think of is the banjo. The classic bluegrass sounds from pieces like Dueling Banjos and Foggy Mountain Breakdown are sounds that take my mind to the mountains. The banjo has a well-known and classic sound. It also has a long and exciting history in North Carolina. The banjo first came to America in the 1600s and is believed to have been around in Africa since ancient Egypt. When the banjo came to the Americas, one of the places it took root was in the South, but especially in the mountains of North Carolina. When it arrived, it began the evolution from gourds and goatskin toward what we think of as the modern banjo, based on a wood body and neck with a mylar-type plastic head. As the shape and material of the banjo continued to evolve, so did the music that was made with it. From northern minstrel shows, which was a type of stage entertainment featuring songs, dances, and comic routines based on stereotypes of black Americans, typically performed by white actors with makeup known as blackface, it developed in the United States in the early and mid-1800s and was widely performed until the mid-1900s. It is now regarded as highly offensive. So the music that was made with it, from northern minstrel shows to deep south bluegrass. It went through many places and was used for many things, but it was most known today for the twangy bluegrass sounds of musicians like Earl Scruggs. As the banjo continued to evolve, there were several significant changes other than material. In the 1870s, luthier Henry C. Dobson added frets for a more straightforward note definition and playability. The original banjos tended to be either gourds or open-back wooden frames. But as time went on, a new banjo style emerged called the resonator banjo or bluegrass banjo. The resonator banjo had a solid wood body and back with a cover versus the old banjo with just a ring of wood and a skin-covered head. In the 1930s, northern traveling shows and minstrel shows discovered the banjo as they traveled. Through the 1930s and 40s, some of them began to take banjos with them back to the north. When the banjo started moving north, the use in the southern states kind of went through a slump until the 1930s, when you started seeing its use return to the south. Born and raised near Shelby in Cleveland County, Earl Scruggs is possibly the most influential bluegrass banjo player in the last century. He's known for classics like Foggy Mountain Breakdown and The Ballad of Jed Clampett, the theme song for the 1960s TV show The Beverly Hillbillies. While he recorded many well-known songs, one of the biggest things he is credited with is creating and influencing the three-finger style of picking. The three-finger style went from using only the thumb and index finger to adding the middle finger, allowing more notes to be picked. As the banjo was moved back into North Carolina and the Deep South, and the three-finger style was invented and used, much of the new bluegrass music became known as Scruggs style because of his influence in bluegrass. Earl Scruggs is given so much credit in bluegrass banjo that he is known as the father of the bluegrass banjo. From gourds and goatskin to wooden mylar plastic, the banjo is an integral part of North Carolina's history and heritage. The unmistakable notes and sounds stem from centuries of music in the North Carolina mountains, and influential North Carolinians like Earl Scruggs remind us of home and family. Here are the photographs accompanying that and their captions. The Banjo Lesson, a painting from 1893 by Henry Asawa Tanner, oil on canvas, the Hampton University Museum. There's a sidebar article about that. The Banjo Lesson was painted by Henry Asawa Tanner, born 1859, died 1937, one of the first well-known African-American artists in the United States. While studying in Paris, Tanner developed typhoid fever, so he returned to the United States and began teaching at Clark University in Atlanta. When his doctor advised him to get some mountain air for his health, he traveled to North Carolina, where he began painting images of African Americans living in Appalachia. Here's another photograph's caption. Most historians and musicologists trace the roots of the banjo to traditional instruments like the ngoni, brought to North America from West Africa by enslaved people. And Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs, who performed as the bluegrass duo Flatt and Scruggs. Now a closer look at more North Carolina musicians. Charlie Poole, born 1892, died 1931 from Randolph County. Charlie Poole led one of the first popular string bands to come out of North Carolina. His group, the North Carolina Ramblers, included Poole on banjo, his brother-in-law Posey Rohrer on fiddle, and Norm Woodleaf on guitar. In 1925, the group cut several successful singles for Columbia Records in New York City. Songs like Don't Let Your Deal Go Down Blues and White House Blues became standards in both bluegrass and country music. The group traveled throughout North Carolina playing for workers in the textile mills. Poole was one of the first banjo players to use a three-finger style of picking. His recordings continue to influence country and bluegrass musicians. Steep Canyon Rangers, formed in 2000 from Buncombe County. The Steep Canyon Rangers is a Grammy-winning bluegrass band based in Asheville. The band first formed while in college at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. The band includes Woody Platt, guitar and vocals, Graham Sharp, banjo and vocals, Mike Gugino, mandolin, mandola, and vocals, Nicky Sanders, fiddle and vocals, Mike Ashworth, drums and vocals, and Barrett Smith, bass and vocals. The Steep Canyon Rangers have recorded 9 solo albums plus 2 albums with actor, comedian, and banjoist Steve Martin. In 2013, the band's solo album, Nobody Knows You, won the Grammy Award for Best Bluegrass Album. They released 3 new albums in 2020, including Arm in Arm. Superchunk, formed in 1989 in Orange County. Superchunk is an indie rock group from Chapel Hill that was among a large group of bands that formed in the Piedmont region of North Carolina in the late 1970s, 80s, and 90s. Members include Mac McCaughan, guitar and vocals, Jim Wilbur, guitar backing vocals, John Worcester, drums backing vocals, and Laura Balance, bass backing vocals. In 1989, McCaughan and Balance started the independent record label Merge Records as a way to release their own music and music created by friends. Now based in Durham, the successful label celebrated its 30th birthday in 2020. The band's 12th album, Wild Loneliness, was recorded at home in North Carolina during the COVID-19 pandemic and released in February 2022. James Taylor, born 1948, from Orange County. North Carolina's unofficial state song might be Carolina in My Mind, written and recorded by singer-songwriter-guitarist James Taylor. A 6-time Grammy Award-winning musician, he's one of the best-selling musicians of all time. Taylor was born in Massachusetts, but moved to Chapel Hill at age 3 when his father took a job at the UNC Chapel Hill School of Medicine. James and his 4 siblings grew up making music and playing in the woods along Morgan Creek. His first hit album, Sweet Baby James, 1970, was praised as a folk rock masterpiece. In April 2003, Chapel Hill renamed a bridge over Morgan Creek in his honor. Joe Thompson, born 1918, died 2012, from Orange County. Joe Thompson was an old-time fiddle player and one of the last musicians to carry on the black string band tradition. As a child, he learned to play the fiddle from his father, who had learned the instrument from his own father, who had been enslaved. Thompson later toured the United States and abroad with his cousin Odell Thompson as the new string band duo. They performed at Carnegie Hall, the National Folk Festival, and the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. In 1989, they recorded old-time music from the North Carolina Piedmont, and in 1991 received the North Carolina Folk Heritage Award. 2007, Thompson was awarded a National Heritage Fellowship. Arthel Doc Watson, born 1923, died 2012, from Watauga County. Arthel Doc Watson was one of the most influential flat-picking guitarists of the past 50 years. Born in Deep Gap and blind from a young age, he picked up music from his parents, who sang at their local church. After receiving a guitar from his father, Watson began to blend the styles and old-time rhythms in North Carolina mountain music with more modern songs that he heard on the radio. He eventually recorded more than 50 albums and won 7 Grammy Awards. In the 1970s and early 1980s, he toured with his son, Merle. In 1988, Watson founded Merle Fest in memory of his son, who died in a tragic tractor accident. Next, from the editor, what do you think? What is music? What do you think it's for? Why do people make it, sing it, listen to it, share it? And how does it make you feel? In this issue, we discovered that music can be a way to hand down stories from the past, learn more about our ancestors, learn about people and cultures from all over the world, express emotions, especially feelings that are hard to put into words, protest injustice, find your voice and speak your truth, connect with others and build community, change history, and even change the world. Did you know, according to Spotify and other resources, that there are more than 1,300 definable genres of music in the world? Here are just a few. Acapella, Afropop, Ambient, Beach, Big Band, Bluegrass, Blues, Bollywood, Bossa Nova, Carnatic, Celtic, Classical, Country Disco, Dixieland, Electronic, Flamenco, Folk, Funk, Gospel, Grunge, Hindustani, Hip Hop, Holiday, Indie Rock, Jazz, K-pop, Latin, mariachi, merengue, metal, Motown, Muzak, New Age, opera, polka, pop, punk, rap, reggae, reggaeton, religious, rock, samba, ska, soul, swing, tang, techno, world, yodeling, zydeco. Whoa, no wonder we couldn't put every single one in this magazine. Which ones do you know? Which ones would you like to find out about? We hope this issue will encourage you not only to listen to new music, but also explore the who, what, when, where, why, and how of that music's history. It's written by Kathy East. Here are a couple of photograph captions to go with that. In 1958, J.D. Lewis started hosting Teenage Frolics, one of the most popular TV programs in the history of WRAL-TV in Raleigh. The weekly music and dance program aired live at noon on Saturdays and featured an audience of teenagers who sometimes traveled from up to 100 miles away. The show premiered 13 years before the more famous national syndicated program Soul Train. How do you get your music? This is one way that young people bought tunes before online downloads and streaming apps, in a record store. On September 17, 1991, kids lined up out the door and down the block for the album release and midnight sale of a new Guns N' Roses album at School Kids Records on Hillsborough Street in Raleigh. Why are some kids and the TV cameraman on the right eating pizza? Pizza helped provide stamina for the long wait. Here's a think about it sidebar. You may or may not be into music that an older family member listens to today. But what was cool when they were your age? Use your junior historian skills to find out. Who knows, you might discover you like that music too. Here are some questions you could ask. What kind of music did you like when you were my age? Do you still listen to that music? How did you listen to that music? Radio, TV, record player, boombox, iPod, etc.? What was your favorite musician, band, or song? What memories does that music bring back? What was happening in the world at that time? Is there music that makes you remember a specific historical event? Did any music change your way of life or way of thinking? What? And in what way? Do you still have records, tickets, t-shirts, and other music keepsakes? These are historical artifacts. Can we listen to some of that music together? Here's from the back page of the magazine. Be a part of Tar Heel Junior Historian Association history. Did you know that junior historians just like you have competed in our annual contest for decades? Be a part of Tar Heel Junior Historian Association history and start working on your own project today. Contest categories include artifact search, Christopher Crittenden State History Quiz, creative writing, exhibit and visual arts, history in action, North Carolina Historic Architecture Photography, Tar Heel Junior Historian Magazine article, and video documentary. If you're having trouble getting started, no worries. Think about people, places, and even things in North Carolina history you'd like to know more about, and then go from there. Maybe it's an artifact in your family's attic, basement, garage, or junk drawer that sparks your curiosity. Or a historical figure that you have the perfect short story for. Or even a building that catches your eye as a photographer. Need help? Ask your club advisor to help you plan your contest entry, and make sure you have all the information you need about rules and how to enter. The possibilities for contest entries are endless. Good luck. A special round of applause for Come Here North Carolina and its generous support of this issue from Tar Heel Junior Historian Magazine. Come Here North Carolina is a project of the North Carolina Department of Natural and Cultural Resources designed to celebrate, support, and help sustain North Carolinians' groundbreaking contributions to American music. From banjo and guitar innovators Earl Scruggs and Doc Watson to Nina Simone, George Clinton, Etta Baker, James Taylor, Jake Cole, John Coltrane, and everyone in between, North Carolina musicians have impacted audiences across the globe. Today, over 40,000 North Carolinians work in the music industry, and countless more enjoy the art that comes from that work. We are proud to support all Made in North Carolina music. You can find more at comeherenc or ncdcr.gov/about/featured-programs/come-here-nc. We've run out of time for today's episode of NC History. Make sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Ed Tremblay, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.
One day my pappy told me some advice I'd like to give to you. Son, find a good